This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unk, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unk podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unk, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The Volume.
Just a reminder, you can catch us recording this podcast live on AMP. AMP is a new live radio app that lets you call in and chat with us in person while we're recording. Get the app on Apple's App Store and make sure you follow us at Jenkins and Jones to get notified when we go live. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Saturday, June 3rd, and it's our weekly Silly Billy episode. We are only very tangentially talking about sports. This is a sports-free episode for everyone who does not want to hear us talking about the NBA Finals, who does not give a fuck about basketball. We see you. We respect you. we're sort of with you a little bit. All right. as always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. Have a good...
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
I'm Gardy B, a.k.a. Mike.
Motherfucking Mike.
Motherfucking Mike.
Motherfucking Mike.
I almost messed your Twitter handles up again. Like I was a first episode listener.
What happened?
I was about to call you Dragonfly. I was about to call you, yeah, Dragonfly Jenkins.
couldn't be worse than Nuggers.
All right, we said very tangentially. It couldn't be. You're right. Well, it could be.
It could be.
All right, we said only tangentially talking about sports. Josh Hart. This came across the old timeline because he's a basketball player, but also because of the strength of his opinions. Josh Hart had to weigh in on breast milk, and I want to go to Josh Hart's timeline so I can read the exact tweet. this has been all over everything since he tweeted the shit, and he said, quote, "Have y'all ever tasted y'all significant other's breast milk? Asking for a friend." This has 3,400 retweets, 6,000 quote tweets. Well, Stephen A. has been talking about it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Gentlemen, your thoughts?
Yeah, that Stephen A. fucking clip was hilarious.
I didn't see it.
Stephen A. even broke out the serious hush tone for this subject. But he was clowning. He was having fun with it.
Okay.
He brought up the motherfucking Dave Chappelle making a band clip, the Cambodian breast milk.
Okay, Cambodian breast milk.
Yeah.
You make my day.
Yeah. Josh had a wild motherfucker. Like Jalen Brunson unfollowed that man and screen recorded it and sent it to him. Josh Hart a wild nigga. I mean, we talked about it before. Like we said, he might be the funniest dude in the NBA, bro. The dude's got a legit sense of humor, man.
I don't think he was joking though.
he was clowning. He was seriously clowning. Like, you
yeah,
know,
right, right, yeah. right.
I've talked about a situation involving it on an old Jesus Jones episode. We were crazy.
Talk about it. Talk about
it. You
John.
Really want me to? there was a situation. I'm not going to go all the way in. I don't think I can. Yeah. But there was a... I've had experiences and experience at 19 with a woman who was pregnant, and I will say that I've been a fan of breast milk for a long time. That's what I will say. The experience was outlined on an earlier episode. I will not do that now because I'm a different man.
It was a different time. It was a different time.
But I will say this, like, I understand why he would be interested in the taste and talking to people about it, because it's worth, you know, having a conversation about. But the fact that he's in his position and he has so many people following him, that's extremely fucking wild. He's a wild boy for that. But dog, I mean, there's something to say about, you know, it is very tasty, Scrum.
If you could describe it, what would you say?
It's sweet.
It's sweeter than regular.
It reminds me of milk if milk was icing. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense, Mike? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, so I'm saying, like,
no, it's like leftover cereal milk. Like,
you did it better like, than like, I did. You did it better than I did. As a
like
person,
Apple Jacks, I mean, that's it. That's you, bro, nailed it. Yep. Yes. You nailed it right there.
Yes,
bro.
Yes. And so it's maybe a taboo subject, but should it be taboo? Should we not feel comfortable with talking about tasting, you know, the nectar of our own wives? Should we be ashamed?
I'm gonna move us off the subject, I will say our homie Trey. should I say Trey's tweet?
Yeah, you can say that.
He said, "I see why babies hold the titty with both hands." That's what he said.
Bro, I'm telling you, man, it's something special. You know what I mean? Let's not. You know, I understand why he would be. I remember the first time I had it. I remember, like, maybe this is his first time. You know, maybe he'd make the decisions that I made when I was younger to get in the situation I got into. But you know what I'm saying? I remember at 19 and being like, wow. So that Cambodian breast milk joke was after I'd already tasted breast milk. And I was like, there's something there, but I'm not going to get into it.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's one of those, like, you know, you're watching that in college with your friends or something, and you're looking around like, I'm not going to start the conversation, but if someone else wants to start it, I would contribute. I know exactly what face you were making when you said it.
Waiting for some. Okay, all right.
Yeah, you know, this is funny.
This might
just
not
jokes.
Be the place to have a conversation. Yeah. Okay, you know. But there's one to be had for sure.
All right, let's talk about we had this conversation because I was talking about Deshaun Jackson. We were talking about in the group chat. Who do you think the best athletes to compete while high would be? D-Jack to me would be, he would have to be up there on the football list as a person who he probably is moving faster high. You know what I mean? But they just put a stat out. He was the oldest person in the league to catch a ball this year, and he also had the third fastest speed of any receiver, like, timed on a route, which at his age is fucking insane. So there's something to, you know, living naturally. But who else would you put? Who do you think are the athletes that, you know, lost the least of their athletic abilities while high?
I don't even think it's a hypothetical for the athletes I'm going to throw out. I know these two guys for sure played high. There's no doubt in my motherfucking mind. And that would be Allen Iverson and Randy Moss. There is no doubt in my mind that both of them dudes played Blaze. I remember the first time it really hit me that AI was out there high. If you go back, he signed up for the 2000 three-point shooting contest, right? And that motherfucker only hit like 4 or 5 balls. And there's a moment where he's done and he just has the high face like, what the fuck was I out here doing? I'm telling you, go YouTube that shit, bro. I was like, I was a kid watching that shit in 2000. I was like, this motherfucker is zooted. And I know Randy Moss for sure played high, bro. There's no doubt in my mind. Because that moon shit that he did when he shook his ass to Green Bay, he was high as hell when he did it. No doubt about it. That was some high shit that he did right there. So those are my two votes. First ballot, guys.
There was a dude I knew to play for University of North Texas who was a shooter. And he would come to the gym high as hell and be stroking. And I remember knowing he was high because he shot better. And I'm like, oh, it's just muscle memory today. Ain't no brain getting in the way of these jimmies, bro. You know what I mean? He just letting it fly. And so the player I think would probably be J.R. Smith. And the shot selection might even get better. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can't get any worse. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, I think it'd be J.R. Smith. I don't know if he smokes. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he smoked high. You feel, I mean, I don't think I'd be out of mind.
J.R. burns it down. Y'all don't remember, he took a picture of a Rembrandt painting when he was at a museum out on vacation in Europe. He was like, hey, what this remind you of? And it was Dutch masters. You know, it was the literal Dutch master dudes, the paintings that, you know, the fucking cigars got their image from. So
I just didn't want to assume. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so like, yeah.
And didn't George Karl throw a shot at him about that shit?
I don't know. He probably did.
I think so, because J.R. Smith went on Old Man and 3 J.J. Redick shit. Mm-hmm. And he was like, bro, George Karl never had a fucking a set coming out of a timeout for us. And George Karl, you know, responded back. George Karl is a messy bitch on Twitter, bro. Mm-hmm. And then he replied back like, I enjoyed our time together, JR. I did have sets coming out of timeouts, but you were probably high. He said some slick shit like that, bro.
That sounds like he is the messiest bitch on Twitter for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but J.R. Smith would definitely be the person that I would think would, you know, probably be just as good or better. While high, you know, it's, not thinking when shooting jumpers is, I think, is always the better thing.
It's interesting because we all said football and basketball, but I remember like the first time, and y'all know, like I don't smoke or whatever, but like I remember when Sean White like tested positive for marijuana and they wanted to like take his medals and stuff. I remember because I had friends who smoked weed. I just remember thinking like, should this not be an additional 0.5 gold medals for him?
Shouldn't it be golder? Like, shouldn't the gold medal be golder? Like, right. Add some more gold to that mug. He made it hard on himself. He played it on zombie mode.
Like they try to come down on Michael Phelps, like on the one, on the sport where you need your lungs more than perhaps any other sport. And then that motherfucker gets high.
He was taking bong rips. He was taking college fraternity bong rips before going to the Olympics. Like,
the best fucking swimmer of all time.
Go ahead, Jackson.
I feel like two guys that are not confirmed but give off very high vibes while they're playing and seem better when they have that specific look are Klay Thompson and Cody Bellinger. They both, you look at their face and they're like,
we've come to the conclusion of what Klay is. He's not high. We won't say what
I know.
Is.
Yeah. Well, but that's why I'm saying I don't think these guys are actually playing while high, but they both give off very intense stoner energy.
I would bet my mortgage that Cody Bellinger and Jock Peterson were high as fuck, like at least half the time when they were together on the Dodgers. Like Cody Bellinger looks like if you were to go to the realm of forms and find the platonic ideal of a high white dude, he would look like Cody Bellinger.
Is that the redhead?
No.
Okay.
I'll send you, while we're talking, the next time y'all talk, I will send you a picture of Cody Bellinger and you'll just be like, yes, every white person I've ever known who smoked weed looked like this dude batting in the World Series.
I mean, if we're talking high teammates, Randy Moss and Jason Williams went to high school together. I know those motherfuckers burned it down, dog.
Did they both go to Florida too? I think Jason was for a little bit. Or Randy, did they not go to Florida for a second before they went to the...
Randy Moss was at Florida State, got in some trouble, then had to go to Marshall.
Okay, I thought they both went to the same college for a second too.
I just sent y'all Cody Bellinger's headshot from this year. Please understand, this is not him on a Tuesday of like their fourth straight game playing. This is what he showed up looking to media day like.
Oh,
this is what his face always looks like, bro.
Bro, he should have been in like Clerks or something. Like, you know what I mean? He's made for one of those type movies.
Right, like, he looked like he walked right out of fucking Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
His face, like, if you look at the definition of deed, like, that should be his face. Like, his face is saying deed. That's a deed face, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah, bro. The headband just adds to it, too, right? You know what I mean?
I just Googled it, and after he went on Jimmy Kimmel once, I think after they won the World Series, And he said, I'm not high during games, okay? If you look at me in the Little League World Series, I look faded. I was not smoking when I was 12 either. I'm not high. That's just how my face looks.
But he said faded. He said, I look faded, which means...
That's somebody that smokes says faded. You don't say faded unless you smoke. Also,
white dudes who smoke love to say faded. You know what I mean?
Every person that looks high, I always see them like in their brain, it's like they're playing Mario Brothers. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense to you? Like, yeah. It always seems like they're playing a video game in their head. Like you know what I'm saying?
He got the face where you already know you're going to have to repeat yourself when you right. ask him something, right? You're already prepared going in. You already know you're going to get the huh already.
He has resting huh face for sure.
Yeah, resting huh face.
For sure. It just takes him a little while to get from where his brain is back to reality. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a few turns in there back to, you know, where we're all existing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I want to add, by the way, for anyone who listens to this show, and I know there are many who live in Long Beach or who are fans of the 562, but my writing partner, JJ, has Cody Bellinger's exact same face. not by accident.
Can I be honest with y'all, too? I'm a huh-ass nigga, bro. I'm a huh what? I'd like, rather be like, dog. like, bro, because I'll just be sitting by her.
Because you built a construct in your brain of like a foreign planet that, like, where the sky is made of carbon instead of oxygen or something, right?
The
like,
reason why I know it's a long journey back is because I've taken that journey.
That's right.
It's an arduous one. You know what I mean?
Y'all are aware, just since we're happen to be talking about people playing sports while high, y'all have heard the Doc Ellis story, right?
Perfect
game on LSD, which is like there's something.
Have you seen the video? Have you seen like the artwork that they the cartoon was
there's perfect. There's something to that, right? Like, I mean, I'm not like advocating for everyone to like do mushrooms before they drive to work or something, but like there's something to like John said, the dude you were playing with in college, like turning off a certain part of your brain and letting your body take over. That is when, like, sports psychologists that every major team in the country employs, like, that is what they're trying to teach people to do, is to get their brain out of the way of their physical function.
The reason you, like, repeat the same motions over and over and over and over so you don't think. The last thing you want to do when shooting, I'm talking from basketball, right, you know, is think. Like, you just want to catch it and let that shit fly, dog. In the middle of your jumper, it should just be natural. So you could tell, like, I think getting the brain out the way is definitely the goal.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like, check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
All right. We've got to hand out our Dookie Butt of the Week. John, Tyler, do you have your Dookie Butt of the Week nominations ready? Or should I go first?
Go first.
Yeah. My Dookie Butt of the Week is here. It has to be Jackson Saffon.
Dang.
What the fuck?
Just, you know, if it was just that you produce our show and you had to hear the Celtics shit from us, that would not have been a Dookie Butt of the Week nominee. But the fact that you had to like double that up, like you produced two podcasts, both of which spent a sizable chunk of time making fun of the Celtics after the most heartbreaking loss in history. And then the clincher today is it was this historic thing that y'all came back from down 0-3 to force a game seven. And we learned today with Brad Stevens at the podium that what it means is you get your head coach back, which I know you're so excited about. So congrats, my boy.
Brad Stevens is to be the Duke Bud too, like for just like, hey, let's, we saw what we saw, but we're going to try again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can I get this like shipped to me in some sort of trophy form? I feel like I don't.
You want me to send you a trophy?
No, I'm just kidding. I remember the name of the award.
I can make you a trophy.
I remember the name of the award and I immediately changed my mind. Forget it.
Make you a trophy. I reject this award on premise.
He was excited about the thought of it.
I refuse to even accept the award. So. God damn it.
All right, fellas.
I've been a bit offline this week, so I haven't really been keeping up with shit, but I've seen that, you know, the dickheads are fucking gearing up and already like hating on Pride Month. And first off, shouts to the Pride Month homies. Have fun, enjoy this month, you know, celebrate, honor all your folks and all that shit. And it's just motherfuckers are preemptively mad, like, dog.
People are protesting Target mannequins, dog.
Yeah,
like that's how mad, like that's how at no point while you're filming the video of you yelling at a Target mannequin does the oven light of self-awareness go on in your head.
Did y'all see that those motherfuckers who made that rap video outside of Target? Worst shit I ever seen in my life, dog.
No, when was this? No. What was it about?
It was fucking stop trying to indoctrinate our kids rap, and they were out in a fucking Target parking lot. It's the worst shit I've ever seen, and they were white, so white rap.
They were. You have to tell us that.
Of course, you're fighting an uphill battle being a white rapper to begin with, and then you choose this fucking hill to die on.
What's the worst kind of niche white rap? Is it those people, or is it the white dudes who rap about video games?
At least about the video game shit. You know, it's no one's getting hurt there. They're just being
true.
Nerds. You
that's
know what
true.
I mean.
That's true. Vinny loves that shit. It's been real hard for me, bro.
Really? Well, he's a kid, man.
Vinny's
we
heard
like,
every
we don't like dumb shit. We were kids.
Yeah, Vinny's heard every Among Us rap song that has ever been written, bro.
Any
knows them word for word too,
Oh my god, G.
I'll be like, cool. I'm gonna put the twins on. Like, let's listen to some corrupt root just for a minute. Like, let's just get a palate cleanser.
You're right. Right.
Listen, bro. We grew up.
Have you heard of these hoes, Vinny? That's real rap. Is that what we're doing, Mike?
Jesus Christ.
I mean, listen. We were kids liking Paula Abdul and a fucking cartoon cat rap,
and that went crazy. You
know? Yeah,
that went crazy. That went crazy. The dookie butt of the week this week is me, guys. I'm the dookie butt. Oh, my
Two
God.
Two-fourths of us are the dookie butt of the week?
Crazy. Two-fourths. I just can't do like
Zoom people, is stinky.
It's musty as hell in this thing. I know it's stinking there. I know it smells crazy there. No, but dude, like people was talking about these Beyonce tickets and how much, like, and not just Beyonce, but overseas prices are so much cheaper than the tickets here that it's cheaper to go fly and have that, you know what I'm saying, bucket list trip and see your favorite artist than actually buying a good seat here. And it's just not Beyonce. It's been for that way for a while. This one fat woman said that she flew from Seattle to like some European country with her and her two daughters to see like Taylor Swift. And it was way less, it was like equal to the price of just going to the Taylor Swift concert in Seattle, you know what I mean? And it's at least the ticket price, the ticket price for the concert, the flight price, and then the lodging. And I'm like, bruh. So I've been just, you know, doing the dumbest shit where I can really be like, I could have been flexing in France, taking IG photos, getting a lot of likes, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, like that's crazy. So I think it's me, bro.
I'm calling a little bit of bullshit on people saying that though, because I feel like to some extent there's like maybe a little bit of a like justification. Not that I don't think they need justification, but maybe there's some self justification there, because we're flying to Japan this summer, bro. And it's not cheap flying over an ocean. So I think Japan, you know what I mean? They don't have Spirit flights to Paris. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I don't know. Like the tweet has like over 100 quote tweets of people talking about it.
I think people brought up the point that, you know, Europe, they don't have Ticketmaster. That's an American entity. And Ticketmaster is the motherfuckers who run it up. And as someone who bought some Beyonce tickets, bro, it was like fucking damn near. The taxes, the Ticketmaster fees were damn near the price of the tickets, bro.
Like there's 130 quote tweets of people saying that, talking about their experiences and the prices that they've seen. Basically.
But like to go overseas, it's like a couple grand each on the round trip. Like people are paying like they're saying it would have cost $8,000 to got take the four tickets, people to the Seattle
If you got
Seattle
the
show?
Ticket, if you bought the flights early enough, it's not as expensive. And you can get like, you know, you can if you go early enough, you can fly like you find cheaper flights, but. And I tweeted it because I saw a number. It wasn't just like two or three people.
It wasn't just someone said it.
I tweeted it because I was like, I'm like, boo, people are rich. They're going to France to buy Beyonce ticket, you know, watch Beyonce. That's crazy. But it's like, no, it's actually, you know, equal price to just going and watching here.
I do have friends who flew overseas to see Beyonce, but they are rich.
Okay.
It's what made me think about it. But they're also the type of people to say some shit like, you know, like you compliment the dress and they're like, I didn't, you know what I mean? My grandma, like, oh, I got it at Merv's for, you know what I mean? Whatever. Yeah, it's like, you bullshit. You had that shit, you know, like.
You had that custom made.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, shit.
That's
tickets,
bespoke.
The tickets for me and wifey this summer for, you know, the Beyonce tickets a weekend in D.C., that shit is two racks, bro. That's for sure a fucking overseas vacation. Like,
for two racks, it's $1,600. Flying overseas airline is $1,600 round trip each to go to Asia. You know what
Asia's
I mean?
Asia's different, bro. Like the
Paris,
the flight to Paris is probably like from where Tyler's at from DC, maybe 6-8 hours. Like me to fly to New York is 6 hours, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on. I'm gonna look this shit up right now.
But I mean, you got to look out for months ahead of time.
Right, motherfucking ass.
Oh, look, you're such a journalist. Let me get the facts.
Well, no, because I need to know. I need to make some adjustments. If you could go round trip,
bro,
to Paris for $2,000,
people
you know what
were talking
mean?
About
I haven't
like
been living with that assumption.
And it wasn't just Beyonce. They're talking about their favorite band, like their favorite, like, you know, performers.
Yo, am I just going to the wrong continent?
So, bro, see,
they're talking about his round trip flights for $500 from the East Coast to Paris?
It's, so, geez.
It's $493 round trip to Paris from here.
What date?
I'll go whenever. I'm not trying to see.
You're trying to pull up tomorrow? Right.
I'm trying to see some baguas.
I'm going to just plug this shit in for a round trip.
Give me a baguette. And a croissant.
I'm trying to troll Rudy Gobert's family in person. Right.
Pull up to their compound, talking all shit about their last name.
6 foot 10 enforcers. Right.
We gonna get
soccer
jumped,
with
anyway.
My head. Yeah. Right. Damn, I might. I mean, well, we're locked into going to Japan this summer.
I think the thing is, though, bro. I don't like niggas.
It's more expensive to go to Hawaii from here than it is to go to Paris from DC.
But the thing is, I think, you know, niggas been broke for so long that now we, you know, like, it's like,
I've been talking about this. Yes. You know,
we didn't even think that it was possible. Like, we thought it was for the richest of the rich. Oh, like, oh, I can afford to go to Paris. Wow. You know what I mean? I just been living that broke nigga mindset. I gotta work on that. More therapy
allow
for
me to
me,
readjust
bro.
My Brother. Vision board right. for 2024.
I gotta figure something. Let me put this on the docket next therapy session. I didn't know I could. Yeah.
This is not the most relatable segment of Jenkins and Jones we ever recorded, but it's still exactly how I'm feeling right now. Right. So I'm feeling
like, wow.
It's June 1st as we're recording.
Right. Right. My brain is way more broke than my bank account. You know what I mean? Bro, thanks. I'll be living. Dang. Okay. I didn't know you could actually, that was a plausible, normal thing to be able to do. For regular humans, but yeah, crazy.
What you got, Tyler?
It was $750 round trip from Richmond to Paris. So
Richmond, you don't even have to like take a train to DC for that. Dude, like that's crazy.
They say the tickets to like you can get like the tickets floor seat joints like €190 or something. So you
so
probably
like
could have done
that's
that.
That's like 400. That's like 350.
The euro kind of nasty right now, ain't it? It's the euro ain't worth it. Ain't worth.
Am I thinking of pounds? Is the euro the other direction?
Yeah, pounds go crazy. You know, euro ain't really. You know what I'm saying? I think pounds is valued more as more.
I might have to go find out.
Hey, hit the old you know currency joint. See what it like the currency calculator. You know what I mean? And it'll let us know, you know, €190.
It's $204 for four seats to Beyonce. That's crazy. All right. Well, salute to all the bargain shoppers in Paris seeing Beyonce, bro.
Can you get a refund and hit that Paris? Hey, can go overseas?
Hey, DC cool, but we go up that motherfucker 4-5 times a year.
Hey, might have to hit Munich or something, my boy. You know, there might be options there in that global tour. You feel me?
I didn't know, man. I thought they were just being fake humble.
I knew
humble.
That many
I thought
people
they were being
wouldn't
fake
lie to
humble
me. That many people wouldn't lie to me.
On the internet, though?
I mean, it was just a lot. I mean, it would take a lot of people to just have completely bullshitted to, you know what I mean? Like these, you know, it was.
Man, this is like when we were. I probably shouldn't tell this story, but when we were in high school, we didn't have health insurance in our, in our family. So we, you know, if you go get dental work done in Mexico, it's like literally 1/20th the cost of doing it in America. You know what I mean? So that's like my mom, like she would like go to Mexico to get like a filling done or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's just like that. It's like you go to Paris to see Beyonce because that's how fucked up it is in America. Bro.
Jeez, bro. They gouging us over here, dog.
Is this not? Would this not be a bipartisan issue?
Am I the first black person to use the word gouging? I only hear white men say gouging, price gouging. They're gouging us. I might be the first black person to say gouging, bro. I'll be on a golf course like these white motherfuckers love to say gouging. And they're always getting gouged.
That would be a funny recurring segment. Pick a word that you're the first black person to say.
I might be. I don't know.
Okay. Well. Well, the Jenkins and Jones crew, we're going to have to do some reevaluating after we record the Silly Billy episode. Goddamn. Before we get out of here, a recommendation from everyone on the show to watch Primo, our friend Shea Serrano, Jason Concepcion, like the whole crew, Bill Lawrence, who's Scrubs, and Ted Lasso and all these other great shows. Shrinking, too, John. You know that.
You said what?
It's the same executive producer as Shrinking, too.
Oh, for real? Yes. Did not know. Sheesh.
He's one of those dudes where, like I say, it's like Scrubs, Ted Lasso, Shrinking.
He doesn't miss.
Like every time someone says a show is great and it makes them feel good about being alive, it feels like it's a Bill Lawrence show every time. But obviously that Shay's baby and kind of, you know, an autobiographical. He put up what had me tripping was he put up on Instagram the side-by-side pictures of his wife Laramie with his girlfriend on the show. His uncle with the person playing that uncle on the show. Like he put up all the side-by-sides of the characters with who they were based on. And I'm like, I cannot imagine. That's the craziest shit of all time, man.
Yeah, bro, like the characters are perfect. It is such a good show. And if you're looking for something you just want to enjoy and it kind of feels like TV and you're not like, you know, dude, tap in. I watched it. I'm like dying laughing making breakfast. You know what I'm saying? Like it's such a, it's and like it's, I don't know. I feel like I'm getting to know him better. You feel me? It's just so good. Like you fall in love with the characters. His mom after the first episode, I was willing to fight for his mom, bro. I'm like, oh, dog, love. You know what I mean? For real, bro. Like the character arcs are great. Such relatable characters, man.
We got to check it out for sure. Maybe we could do it when the finals are over. I know we sort of got to figure out what else we're going to do. Maybe it's book club again. Maybe we do TV or movie stuff together or something.
Yeah, I think we should do the homegirl he's like, yo, y'all start the book club back up. The one that saw me at the barbecue spot. You feel me?
Well, we got three shows a week now. Yeah. We could do both. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I'm down. But the humanity is like spilling out of the show.
Yeah.
It's just spilling over. It's beautiful.
I love that. Also, shout out the new Miles Morales Spider-Verse movie coming out this weekend. Very excited to take the kids to see that. I just feel so lucky. We've talked about this on the show before. I just feel so lucky. My kids are growing up now because the shit that our kids get to see is so much better than the shit that we grew up on. I know people like cling to nostalgia, but like the first Miles Morales movie is better than like any movie that other than maybe like Jurassic Park or something.
And the reviews for this one... Like I haven't heard anything lower than it's just as good as the first.
That's
like,
the worst thing anyone said about it. Right.
Right. Lots of people are saying it's better, and the worst they're saying is it's just as good. That's fucking incredible. Yeah, I can't wait to see that shit.
It's cool as fuck, bro. It's just like, you know, everyone makes a big deal. Tyler mentioned the people being stupid about Pride. Like every time we start to include more people in American popular culture, there's people who are like, act as though it's gonna damage or destroy the fabric of the country or something. And I just think of how like lucky my kid is that like, I mean, he loves Spider-Man, he loved Peter Parker and everything, but like Peter Parker's still there. They're still making movies about him. He gets to date fucking Zendaya, like, you know what I mean? Peter Parker's doing fine. But now my kid gets this Spider-Man that's his Spider-Man. You know what I mean? He's so fucking excited for this movie. He's had a countdown on his fucking phone since they announced the date of the movie, which was like a year ago.
Oh wow!
You know what I mean? So it's just cool, and it's like it just makes you realize. And I saw the same thing with all the reaction videos of Little Mermaid. Like, you just have to ignore the people saying this shit because they are wrong. Like, and we know that they're wrong because we see the good shit that happens when you do include more people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know, bro. It's just the dumbest shit in the world to me. All right. Before we get out of here, Jackson and I are going to do a Succession recap. Tyler, mute your shit. Tyler's taking his headphones off.
Just wave me back in.
Yeah. All right. We'll do. John doesn't give a fuck because John's not walking. John's just going to listen and not care. I watched the first season,
but probably before anybody really had tapped in. You know what I mean? Yeah. But then I just, you know, I'd be falling off. I don't care.
It's too many white people, or like you don't care about the characters, or why did you fall off?
It's not bad. I fell off of Ted Lasso, and I love Ted Lasso. You know what I mean? I just stopped watching. You know what I mean?
That's the same thing. Shar and I are still on episode two of Shrinking. And yeah, we really loved the first two episodes. We've just been playing video games and reading. So
life be happening, dog.
Yeah.
Folks be going outside.
Jackson, I think you and I both felt the same, which was that this was like a perfect episode of television, basically.
Masterpiece of the finale. That it's hard to stick a landing of a show that people have such high expectations for, and they're so like the events of it feel so intense.
Yes,
they crushed it. I thought just in every way. It was one of those things going in. which they did a great job of this, obviously the whole point of the show, but they did a great job of me being like, I would believe any outcome. Anyone could be the CEO at the end, and I would believe it. And they did such a good job keeping that mystique throughout the whole time, and I thought it was cool that they did something that some people were sort of predicting, but still was like not quite the quote-unquote obvious choice.
Right. Well, and they executed it well enough that, like, because of the how uncomfortable you were with the scene with, like, Madsen and Tom. But it, obviously, spoilers from here. Did I tell people just turn it off?
Sorry, spoilers.
If you haven't seen it, yeah. But obviously, like, that scene with Madsen and Tom where he's, like, checking him to see, like, how much will you let me abuse you? Like, yeah. Even if you sort of had an idea that might happen, that scene was still so good that it wasn't, like, it didn't feel expected or boring or whatever. I thought it was the show has been such a good commentary on American corporate culture, obviously among like many other things. It's like Shakespeare, but about American corporate culture, right? And I thought it was perfect that it was like, this is the transition of the business world in America from these sort of megalomaniacal figures like Logan Roy to being a front for foreign capital that is like coming in and buying everything up. Like, it was like a perfect, like, while they're doing this family drama, they still nailed all the bigger themes of like, yes, like, this is what the country, this is how the country's changed. You could say it's for the better, you could say it's for the worse, but it's definitely a change. And I thought that was a fascinating journey as well, for sure.
Yeah, and the election stuff in that episode was, I was like, this is... they're threading this needle somehow. Like, I don't know how you pull off a dance like that. And it was, they're just so smart and so impressive. And just the way they pulled off all the different elements of the show. To your point about Tom, like, I also thought it was interesting that in addition to that dinner scene, when Madsen's talking to Shiv and Shiv's like trying to do this thing that she always does, which is like the both sides thing. And then she's like, right. Yeah, but Tom, I mean, he'll suck the biggest dick in the room. And Madsen's like, right. Interesting.
Sounds great.
That's mine. Madsen's like, that's me.
Right. Yeah. Yes, exactly. That I said to Shara, I was like, I think she just got him hired. And she was like, I don't think he was going to go for Shiv anyway. But definitely that was like a great endorsement of Tom to that dude in that moment. You know what I mean? All right. I feel like I could probably talk about that show for hours. But John, Tyler. I don't know how to wave Tyler, and he's looking at his phone.
John, bro, text Tyler. Bro, home. Dude, titty milk.
I got him look up.
You looked up. You we've been waving at you for a couple of seconds. You looked up as John said the word titty milk.
the fucking titty milk sentence.
I knew it worked.
All right, that's all the time we got. We'll be back Sunday night with a recap of NBA Finals Game 2, and then we'll stick to the Sunday-Wednesday nighttime recording, or Sunday-Wednesday recordings, plus the Saturday Silly Billy episode. We'll catch you all soon. Bye!
Bye!
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.